know what a hokey pokey is, but it sounds fun.
I don't think it's made of, it's a real koala.
I was tired, I was hungry, and I was hot. All of those three things combined equals Hurricane John.
Here's the problem I've always had with Helen Keller.
I seem weird? Like a lefty?
Pickles. They know me hate those pickles on me cheeseburgers.
Welcome to Blast Their Hearts, where we are pickle-free and ready to go. John, what's up?
Pickle-free since 83. That's motto.
I say that often for different things, because in How I Met Your Mother, Ted always said he was vomit-free since 2003. So I try to apply that whenever I can. So I stopped doing a lot of stuff in 2023, just so I can say that. You believe that?
I do. I've heard you do it.
Couple questions for you, man. Just right off the bat here, a couple random thoughts I had. Why do we call semi-trucks semi-trucks, given the fact that they are the biggest trucks?
That's a good point.
Do you know?
Because
I did not Google this. This is just a thought off the top of my head.
So semi usually means less than, right?
Or partial, maybe.
Yeah, a partial truck. So was there going to be a bigger truck? And this was just like, this is the smaller version of the mega truck.
So according to Google, it's because it pulls a semi trailer.
Well, that's not a good answer.
No, it's not at all. So it was originally called a semi trailer truck, and it got shortened to semi truck. I mean,
were there going to be bigger trailers?
Let me give you a picture here. I got a picture that says semi trailer versus a full trailer.
So a semi, a full trailer, okay, that's the exact opposite of what I thought.
The picture for full trailer has an attached back, like a U-Haul, and then behind that, an attachment with another container, whereas the semi just has the one container, which is kind of attached.
Yeah, that's weird.
That's backwards of what I would think. I'm going to put this on our Facebook page right now.
I think that AI just kind of didn't feel like doing work and just made up something. And
that's all it does, which we're talking about AI taking people's jobs. I've been making stuff up for years. It's totally going to replace me.
Wow. You've heard it here first. Jamie, man, we've got a lot of stories. I think your family was on a spring break trip. And then when you all got back into town, my family took off. And I've got a few stories from my time. Did you all have any memorable moments you want to share?
Let me just tell you about a place we need to go. And this should be a business expense, obviously, because everything should be. There's a putt-putt place called Par 3 that we visited.
I saw the pictures, and it looks fantastic.
So this place has 27 holes, and they're all like thematic. So we were playing in Northern Kentucky, so there was like a whole sports set where for the football hole, which was Bengals-themed, you had to actually putt it up a ramp through a field goal post into something to get it onto the green you would putt from.
That's incredible.
And if you did it, there was a highlight reel above it that would show like a Bengals touchdown dance. Amazing. The baseball one, you had to hit like a double or a triple or whatever. There was a foosball one.
Like for the baseball one, did it have a diamond in three different holes or four different holes for first through home?
Yeah. So if you got it, I don't know, there's those little gumball machines that you have to hit at a certain place to be a home run. So if you hit a home run, that's going to guide it to the hole for a hole in one. Otherwise, okay, the better hit you get, the closer it's going to get you.
That's really cool.
There was a foosball hole, John, where the people you were playing against got to go to the foosball table that you had to putt through and use the defenders to stop it.
Was this like, I mean, these are great ideas. Were they well done? Like, did they look professionally
made?
They
were so well done. I would gladly go again. And then the picture I think I shared with people was me actually sitting on a toilet because there was a toilet hole.
It was like a golden toilet.
It was. And I got a hole in one on the toilet. Spent a lot of time there, you know? There was one really where you had to stand.
Scrolling TikTok.
Yeah, right? You had to stand on a skateboard and shoot one. Like, most of them had ramps. There was a Mario one where you had to get it into, like, the tube he goes down in.
Did it make the noise when it
did,
went in?
Maybe it did if you hit a hole in one. I don't remember.
Choop, choop, choop.
That's pretty good. Really bad. It's not bad. I was just amazed at every single hole. There's a bowling hole, which depending on where you hit the pins, it would tell you like gutter ball or whatever. It was amazing. And that was probably the most fun I had on vacation. We went to Great Wolf Lodge. The kids went down a billion water slides. I went down a couple. We took some extra kids' friends with us, and there's like a family slide, quote unquote, at Great Wolf Lodge where you can get five people in a raft. And we went up there and I did it with my kids, and they had previously done it with a friend instead of me, who might weigh 120 pounds. And on the way down, they were like, "Dad, we went so much faster with you here. It was so much fun." I was like, "I hate all of you." And then I went and got a cookie.
Man, that sounds awesome. Like, I want to take my kids now. Maybe I'll
you
take
mean,
them.
Are you talking about the putt-putt place?
Yeah.
Okay. The putt-putt place. I told a whole other story after that.
But,
okay.
But the putt-putt place in particular, like the Mario theme, the sports theme, like that all just sounds so
It was fun. Amazing. And I think, like, I think you can, like, get them to bring you refills while you're out on the course because it's a restaurant, too. Like, there's a restaurant attached. It was so much fun. I would love to go. I would drive up there just to play.
I mean, I'm thinking I need another day of vacation, so
yeah.
Maybe I just go.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Par three, not a sponsor, probably should be.
Yeah, man. So I'll tell this story because it's that kind of brings some nostalgia talking about Mario and all that. So took my fam to the mall, and I like the mall as far as I like the food court. And that's about it.
Yep.
But at Westtown Mall in Knoxville, Tennessee, there is a store that sells only baseball, like cards, sports cards. Mm-hmm. So baseball, football, basketball, what have you. And it's in Knoxville, Tennessee. So you could imagine there's a lot of Tennessee football cards and basketball that are signed sure. by former athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a, notable, there was a Peyton Manning that I could have bought. There was a Hendon Hooker card that I wanted to buy. But the thing that really caught my attention was there was a whole shelf full of 1990s baseball cards still in original packets. So for $3, I could buy a set of baseball cards and rip it. And it was like, what I would have been doing in 1994
yeah.
was what I did that day. So they had tables set up. They had a bunch of cards already loose and open that you could just pull up a box and it was like categorized. So they had a whole box for every NFL team, every mm-hmm. major league team, but they had a whole box of Tennessee football players. So I went through all those, but then I just sat there and I opened up like two decks of cards it was awesome.
I have a question about that. Do you know what it's going to be?
No. Like, do I know what's going to be in the packet?
What's accompanied with the cards in that packet that was memorable to you as a kid?
Oh, so yeah, they had the old school like gum in the packets. I chose not to get that pack.
Okay. I was going to ask it, like, if you got this, was the gum from the 90s and did it kill you?
So I asked them that. I was like, are these reproductions or are these originals? And he's like, no, these are originals that I bought as a kid thinking it would be my retirement, and I'm not coming close.
Yeah.
So it's really on the boxes, not like written in by hand. It was actually made by the manufacturer. As part, like, if you remember those boxes, they came in a flat box, but you opened them in such a way that it made a display.
Mm-hmm.
And on that display, it would say 40 cents. And that's how much we paid for baseball cards back in the day.
It's crazy.
And I only paid $2.99 per pack.
That's crazy cheap compared to
right?
if you were to buy a new pack, which is crazy.
New packs are over $20, right?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
So I pulled, my best cards were a Fred McGriff from the Braves, and then a Mike Piazza.
Crime dog.
Yep.
Yeah.
But nice. Dude, the whole experience was, I just felt like a kid again. It was awesome.
I love that. And it's so funny that I remember I would open a pack and be like, oh, I got this Ken Griffey. Man, it's worth $2. But if I got this other version, it's worth $80. I'm going to buy another pack.
Yep.
But then the market became so saturated that they lost all their value, and it's kind of crap.
What I did later that night was, when I was a kid, I would have to go. Do you remember the magazine you'd have to
look at? Yeah, there was like a guide.
It was called a Beckett.
Yep.
You'd go get your Beckett and look up its value. I used Grok or eBay and just took pictures of the cards and got their value that way. I made my money back if I wanted to sell them.
Oh, I was going to say, did you sell them?
No.
You made your $3 back?
Those cards are somewhere to never be seen again. I did pick up a few Tennessee cards, though. Honest to God, can't remember who they were. Oh, I do have, I bought a card for you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe when I take a break here, when we take a break, I'll run and get it for you real quick.
I'm just trying to think of the timeline of when you would have bought that and if we were friends.
Maybe it was my peace offering.
Okay. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. This is not a personal story, but speaking of college athletes, did you see the Nebraska basketball player that got a tattoo of the record for the team?
No.
Which I don't think that's uncommon. Like it was maybe the most wins. I don't know anything about Nebraska basketball. I honestly just found out they played it. But I think they were like 24-7, and it was like a really good season for Nebraska basketball. This player got a tattoo of the record on his leg, like on the side where my tattoo is on my leg.
They didn't have a great record. What was the record?
24-7 or something
that's,
like that.
That's good, but I mean, they weren't in the Final Four.
The tattoo's not the problem. He entered the transfer portal the next day.
What?
He got a tattoo about Nebraska. Well, the tattoo is literally just the record, but then he transferred the next day.
What's wrong with people?
I mean, that is, if you're doing that, just don't get the tattoo. I got no problem. Like, do either of the things.
Is he going to do like a whole leg sleeve as all of his 30 years of college?
Right? You know? Yeah. Man, that's crazy. The whole transfer thing's wild. But yeah, it's when I saw that he because I saw the tattoo thing and I was like, oh, that's whatever. Like, people do that. But then he entered the transfer portal and then the story came back up the next day. I was like, what is happening here?
Yeah, that's so wild. I don't know why you would. There's some crinkling. I got the bag of cards.
Awesome. We had a delivery. Thanks, Repta.
Yeah. I'm going to just make a whole lot of noise into the microphone.
That's fine. It's good.
Look, there's a bunch of.
There's a receipt.
Yeah. There's the cards.
Do I have to pay you back? What are we doing here?
It was in the bargain bin.
So you just handed me a pack.
Oh, that's not the cards I got.
Oh, I know. From 1994.
Tops Stadium Club?
Tops Stadium Club deck. Dude, you got some other good stuff. Jim Tomey, Will Clark, bro.
I don't know who those guys are. Did they play for the Braves?
Juan Guzman? No, they didn't. Okay, what do you got?
So the Tennessee cards I got were Ethan Davis. I'm betting on this card. I think he is going to be the best tight end in college football.
Okay.
He's under the radar. I got a Dwayne Davis. You ever heard of him?
No.
Most people haven't. He's one of the most just dependable lineman ever, but not very good. He's good, not good enough to make it like a big time pro athlete.
John Olerud? Do you remember him? He wore a helmet to play first base. Let me ask you this. Most of the cards I would look at when I was a kid were superstar cards. I imagine offensive lineman cards would, like, their peak value would probably be lower than any skill position.
Yeah, this is, I bought this guy because he's the model athlete nowadays.
Okay.
He stayed at Tennessee even through the rocky times. He didn't transfer. He didn't want more money and hit the portal. He just came in, put his head down, and worked. And I love this guy. Mr. Dependable is what I would call him. But I found this randomly in a box of Tennessee cards.
Let's go. Why was that in Tennessee cards?
I don't know.
This is a Reed Shepherd. It is a rookie card, and it doesn't even have his team on it. It's a Panini Prism card. This is awesome.
Yeah. So I think he's wearing a Kentucky jersey in that card.
They took the logo off.
They did.
So it's just a blue and white 15. They're Kentucky fans in the background. Maybe he hadn't been in the draft yet, but he's doing great. He's starting for the Rockets with Kevin Durant. I couldn't believe
that card was in there. If you look at that card, I think it's only 25 cents.
Yeah. Which is awesome. So I will, if I sell this for $1 million, I'll give you your quarterback.
I appreciate it.
He's doing great. You and I get to see a lot of athletes. We saw him play in high school.
We called a game.
And he was really good, but there was no time where I was like, man, this guy's going to be an NBA star. But he might be. Like, he's doing really well.
It really is wild to think about. Like, that might be the highlight of our professional baseball or basketball calling.
It really might. It's not, we haven't seen anybody as good since, for sure, but No, thank you very much for this. I will hang on to it.
Yeah, no problem. So, now, do you want to talk about how much you hate me? Or
yeah, let's get into our story. So John and I do a lot of stuff together. Obviously, probably too much. We teach Sunday school. We broadcast games. We host events. We host podcasts. We do a lot. And we had this thing scheduled with Chris Jericho, scheduled to record an episode. And Chris canceled on us. The next week, we rescheduled with Chris, and then he canceled on us. So this
at his request.
At his request. So this is the third time we've rescheduled. You and I have talked and confirmed a time.
Yep. And by we rescheduled, I mean, Chris had things he had to do, and he asked us to reschedule. Yeah, we weren't the ones initiating.
Right. This was the third scheduled time for us to meet. So a few hours before, I get a text from John that basically just says I'm not going to be able to make it. So going through my mind was I'm worried about losing that relationship. Not that it's making us rich or really even improving our numbers a ton, but it's just fun for me. So I don't want to lose that. So I was really worried about that. And I got more frustrated with you than I should have. And I was I was probably just aggressive, not passive aggressive. So I was a real jerk to you. And then we kind of didn't talk for a few days. So I think we're good and we've apologized, but that was,
we worked it out.
It was
like adults.
It was a rough, I don't know, like 48 hours maybe?
Well, I think we both had stress in our own lives outside of that. And I had to make a choice of where are my priorities? And I made a choice that wasn't what you would have wanted me to make. But I made it. I don't know. We talked about it that off the air. I was never that mad.
Yeah.
But.
I was in a bad mood anyway. I was pretty frustrated just because I thought he wouldn't want to. I didn't think he would want to do it with me and just me because we are a package deal. Is that weird?
Well.
And then also, I've never carried an hour with him by myself before. Like, that's more of a tall task. And I didn't even have, like, a few hours notice.
I thought I gave you more than that. I never doubted you
it could probably carry was. It was carried, probably like 8 hours, but it felt like one.
You've carried me for entire baseball games before. So
you did spend three innings trying to buy a football ticket.
But I bought you something.
You did buy me something. So, I didn't buy you anything. I'm sorry for that.
What a guy.
But I recorded with him, and we had a really good time. I think it went pretty well.
So what happened after that is probably the best part of the story.
The best part of the story. So I noticed the week before that Chris had a guest that I knew you would love. Yeah. A guy named Derek Stroop, comedian, country boy. Like,
he is.
He's John.
There's two comedians right now that I would love to see, and he is one of them.
Just got a new Netflix special out. I don't know why it was so hard for me to say. Very funny man. And he,
The stories he tells are the stories that I had growing up. Like, we could be brothers.
He has a whole bit about the circle game and another one about titty twisters. Like, it's he's us.
I have
he's
to give an expletive warning on this episode.
I don't think so. I think that's I did have to explain to one of my kids what that was after we watched it. But so he was on Chris's show, and because Chris had seen the Netflix special and interviewed him, they interviewed in person.
He's the reason we got canceled on one day, I bet.
Oh, crap. I didn't even think about that. It probably was.
I get.
So I'm on with Chris's producer, and I'm talking about that. And I was like, oh, John really likes it. I should tell him he was here. And I just mentioned that. And then over the course of the next 24 hours, I thought, I think I can convince John that he was there. So I took screenshots from their broadcast of Derek Stroop and Chris Jericho, and a shot of me sitting where I was during the interview, because I did different stuff with the camera than I would do if it was both of us. And I got AI to Photoshop it to where it looked like Derek Stroop was on the call with Chris and me.
Yeah.
And I didn't just send that to John. He wouldn't believe that. I got Chris's producer to text that to me and John and say, hey, Jamie, here's the screenshot you wanted. And it looked like I was hanging out with Derek Stroop.
It looked legit because it's the same artwork that she pumps out when we do a call with them.
Yeah. It looked pretty good. And you were convinced, I think. Was there a doubt?
No, never.
Never a doubt? Because it came from her and it was the picture. you texted me to ask, and I kind of played it off nonchalantly, like, yeah, we just talked for a minute, whatever.
I got the picture, and I was at work, and I walked around hoping to find somebody that I could talk to and say, hey, I almost, but then when I was rehearsing, like, what am I going to say? I almost got to meet Derek Street. Right. This is a really
let me brag about story. This.
So I just went to my office and I was upset with myself.
Yeah. I'm sorry. But it's then, okay. So later that night, I finally told you that it was a late April Fool's joke because you really like April Fool's jokes.
That was the and best I, somebody's got me for that in a long
time. And I had hoped that broke the ice of, or broke the tension at least.
I think it might have been worse for a little bit.
It might have. I mean, having said all that, we need to get a hold of Derek Stroop. We got, absolutely. There's a common contact there, you know?
What is it? The 5 degrees of separation?
We got like 2 degrees. Away. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, that was easily the best prank I've ever pulled on you. And the timing was amazingly weird, but it made me feel a lot better. Man. Just to make you think you missed out on it.
Let me tell you something else I missed out on.
Okay.
So at the same mall, right? I'm doing my thing at the baseball card place, and my son, like, I'm kind of in charge of him. Like, if he needs to spend money, I'm the guy that gives him money. Well, he has a credit card, so I was like, just spend money and I'll pay you back. Here's your budget. So we meet up after a little while of this, and he's like, Dad, the craziest thing just happened. I was like, yeah. He's like, this girl came up to me and asked me for my number.
Dang.
I was like, that's not crazy. He's like, wait, she was pregnant. And I was like, what? He's like, yeah, she was very pregnant. And she came up to me and was like, hey, do you have a girlfriend? And he said, no. And then she said, well, give me your number. And you know what he said back?
What did he say?
He said, I'm just a kid. And the saddest part of the story is her response, which she said, me too.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I have missed out on everything.
That's amazing.
I wish I could have saw that.
That's a heck of a story. I wonder if you being around would have made her not do it, but I would love to have witnessed that.
I would have loved to have
seen that. So when are they going out?
Next Tuesday.
I'm just kidding. You did text me about him and tell me that he called customer service.
Oh, I forgot about that. I knew there was a note that I was forgetting.
Yeah.
So my son's a type 1 diabetic. He has two devices that he wears at all time, insulin pump, and it's called a constant glucose monitor. Well, there was about 3 days where his CGM, constant glucose monitor, just wasn't working well anyway. So it was frustrating, but over the last few years, you just learn to live with frustration. It's a normal part of that world. Well, he is more like me than I ever dreamed of because I'm upstairs doing my thing. He's downstairs doing his. I thought he was watching a TV show or playing a video game. My wife comes in from work and she's like, your son is on the phone with customer service from Dexcom. He had been on the phone for 45 minutes and that boy bagged like a few new and free, it's the biggest part of that, constant glucose monitors.
That's pretty outstanding.
Yeah.
Were you like, hold on just a second, Sript, I'm on the phone with Hefty.
I would never call Hefty. Husky is the brand.
Sorry.
So proud. Yeah, he took care of it like a big boy.
That's pretty awesome.
So proud.
That's a very proud moment.
He turned down an advance from a pregnant woman, and he called customer service.
Dude, his spring break is legendary.
He needs to write a book.
Legendary spring break. This episode's going to be legendary. Do you have anything else before we...
I was just going to mention a place that I went that I think you would like.
Okay.
Do you still have your soda stream?
Oh, yeah. Use it every day.
I went to a place called Swig, where they sell every kind of soda, but then you can put... And there's almost an unending list of different ingredients that you can add to your drink of choice.
Okay.
They have some pre-made drinks. Like I think my wife got the Texas tap and it was like Dr. Pepper, vanilla, coconut milk or coconut something. It was good.
Okay.
Everybody got something different. But if you're in the area, not a sponsor, you should check them out.
So can you buy like a bottle of like the actual like Coke syrup or something like that? Or was it just the add-ins you could buy?
No, you like they had all that in the back. You told them your base drink was and then what to add to it.
I would love that. I really like that. I saw, because they have those remix machines at like Wendy's where you can do some of that. I saw that somebody had made one with condiments.
Oh my
gosh. So you could get like half barbecue sauce, half ketchup, or make it thirds and throw some mayo in there.
That is incredible.
That sounds gross, but that sounds exactly what you...
sounds like a mess.
Sounds like what you'd put on a hot dog.
Yeah. A third mayo, ketchup, and barbecue sauce.
Let me say that John and I did an episode a few weeks ago about the history of toilets. And I said, John, we should do something like that again. And he said, the first thing that comes to my mind is hot dogs. And I said, you know what? It always is. So we'll be back with the history of hot dogs after this. Did I intend for a hot dog segue? No, but that's where we're at.
I legitimately love a good hot dog.
You do. I know you do.
I could eat 30 of them in one sitting.
I don't think you can. yeah, in case people don't get that, we had a bet and he backed out. So I know some people who are just like grossed out at the idea of a hot dog. And I kind of get it. Like hot dogs are a weird situation. Because,
well, you know, so am I, but you love me anyway.
Because I don't know. My perception has always been it's kind of what's left over at the pork factory. And then they just put it all together. And then I put ketchup and chili on it and eat it. So
what is your preferred way to eat a hot dog? Let's establish that.
Ketchup and chili. I'm not a mustard guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
My favorite way is my mom's chili with a ballpark, like all natural beef hot dog. And, yeah, mayonnaise, chili, and onions.
Which is funny because, like, for it to be all beef, it does taste different than other hot dogs. So, why do we call them the same thing if they're from different animals? We don't do that for other. We don't have like a beef tender. I guess we do tenderloin, but
yeah,
like chicken tenders. We don't have. I guess Arby's has steak nuggets. Never mind. Nothing I said makes sense. But I want to talk about hot dogs. So we're going to go into the origins of hot dogs. How they got to America, the actual ingredients, and then we're going to talk about the regional types of hot dogs.
I love it.
A lot of good hot dog stuff. Why don't you get us going with the history?
Yeah, the history is the hot dog in 1984, which was a good year. It celebrated the 500th birthday, and that was in Frankfurt, Germany. I always thought hot dogs were like originated in America.
American.
You think of New York City, you think of a hot dog stand, you think of people that are living busy lifestyles. They have to take that, you know, take their lunch on the go in the form of a hot dog.
Well, the Frankfurter was more of a sausage, right? Like I know like sausages. I don't know that I can. Do you consider a hot dog a sausage?
I guess technically it is. So yeah, I can understand that, but yeah. I don't think of it as sausage.
Yeah, I don't either. But that's how it started in Germany, according to some people. Then they added some beef to it and called it a Frankfurter. But it's likely that it just comes from a combination of European sausages, right?
It's like there's another city, Vienna, Austria, which it is called the Wiener.
It is, indeed. And that's important.
And then Vienna makes Vienna sausages, which are those little hot dog-looking things in a can.
Yeah. So it arrived in America in the 1860s in New York. German immigrants brought it over, and they called them Dotson sausages. So if you think of, you said they called wieners. So wiener dog, Dotson, very adorable dogs. So they called them Dotson sausages because they are shaped like a Dotson.
They're skinny and long.
But
I hope that we weren't eating dogs.
Yeah, I mean,
especially those dogs.
How many people have actually thought that? So there's a false rumor out there that there was a cartoonist in New York at a baseball game who couldn't spell Dotson, so he just wrote hot dog. But that
I mean, I get it. I don't know that I could spell Dotson.
I can't either. I mean, it looks like Dashhound, so I don't even like that, but that's not true. So the actual hot dog word, according to all research, started in college newspapers in the 1890s when they were sold in wagons outside of school dorms. So they had wagons of Dotson sausages, and they just made up and started calling them hot dogs because they didn't know what was in them. So college.
Why was humor, college in the 1890s better than the college in the 2000s?
I never had a wagon of hot dogs.
If there was a wagon full of hot dogs that would have pulled up in front of Mahan Hall in Cumberland College, that would have been noteworthy.
Do you know how many degrees I would have?
I'd be a doctor.
None. I'd be dead from hot dogs. Yeah.
Gout would have surfaced in early college.
That's a good point.
So hot dogs in America, Coney Island and Nathan's Famous. Coney Island, man, there's a Coney Island in Detroit, Michigan, that is my favorite hot dog on the planet.
We'll talk about that later.
I don't get it with mayonnaise, though. Get it with mustard, yeah.
You put mayonnaise on everything. But Nathan's Famous hot dogs, which is like the big Nathan's Famous 4th of July thing, started at Coney Island in 1916. Somebody worked at a hot dog stand there, made $11 a week, slicing buns. He only ate hot dogs, and he slept on the kitchen floor so that he could save up his money. He used $300 to buy another hot dog stand.
Do you remember his last name is awesome? Nathan Handwerker.
Handwerker.
Not worker, wearker.
Handwerker's hot dogs. He sold them for 10 cents a hot dog. Again, I was born in the wrong century, apparently.
That's awesome. Nathan hot dogs, by the way, really good.
Really good. That's why they are July 4th.
I said my favorite was the ballpark, and that is what I get sometimes. But I think it's Nathan's. Does Nathan's come in like the yellow and blue or yellow and green wrappers?
I don't know, man. I usually just eat them at ballparks.
All right.
So they may be
the ballpark. Ones I like have that snap because they have like lamb intestines as the outside casing.
That sounds awful.
It's so good.
A lot of questions about the casing we'll get to in a minute.
All right. So President Franklin D. Roosevelt hosted King George the VI at a picnic in 1939. Eleanor decided to make grilled hot dogs part of the menu.
America.
The king enjoyed them so much that he asked for seconds, and some stuffy old timers worried that it wasn't dignified. They were wrong.
You are wrong.
King George, baller move, ordering extra hot dogs. But how about
FDR?
Let's get the government back on that budget. Like, hey guys, until you figure out how to make this country better, you're eating nothing but hot dogs.
I mean, he did get us through the Depression, right?
I'm saying now. Like
now,
nowadays, you're only getting hot dogs to eat. Fix America. We'll give you something better.
Let's do it. There are a lot of rumors about where the bun comes from. And I mean, we're not even going to talk about whether or not a hot dog is a sandwich. But there's a story about a concession stand at the 1904 St. Louis World's Fair where they ran out of gloves for customers and asked his brother-in-law to improvise and make some bread rolls that they just cut holes in and put the hot dogs into. Hot dog historians like us reject this story, saying the most likely scenario was handed down from the German immigrants that brought them to America anyway.
So let's talk about what was in the originals. Are they still the same? So when German immigrants brought them over, they were pork and beef. And then, like I said about the casing, the casing was made from the small intestines of sheep. And that natural casing is what gives you that old school, like, crunch or snap when you bite into them. And if you are not familiar with that, try to get that thought out of your brain, but just eat one and they are amazing.
Yeah. It's anytime you eat a hot dog, I think I try not to think about what's inside. And before 1906, you could literally put anything in a hot dog and call it a hot dog. And maybe this is where all that negative rep comes from. However, there was a novel that came out called The Jungle by Upton Sinclair. And it publicized outrageous conditions in food producing facilities throughout the country. There was public outrage. And then Theodore Roosevelt conducted a federal investigation, and that's when they put the first FDA, well, it wasn't the FDA yet, but federal food safety laws into place. So you couldn't just put anything into a hot dog anymore, which
that's when America started going downhill.
Well, I mean, this next part is sounds like it's very anti-John.
It is, and it's aggravating, but we are living in what's called the skinless era. So most hot dogs that are sold now in the United States are considered skinless. So they don't have that natural casing from, you know, the sheep intestines anymore. In the manufacturing process, they don't do that anymore, and it leads to a cheaper product, and I would say an inferior product. You can still buy the skinned hot dogs, but they are about double the price of a regular pack of hot dogs.
Yeah, I don't.
Well worth it.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah, they obviously they use whatever they can in factory. Still, they made like actual machines that would just kind of take the extra meat off of the bone to make sure that they could squeeze everything into the hot dog. But it's really in 2004 when things take another turn, and that's mad cow disease. If you don't remember that, good for you. I don't want to be a part of it. But due to regulations enacted to protect people from mad cow disease, mechanically separated beef is considered inedible and prohibited for use as human food. It's not permitted in hot dogs anymore or any processed products. Hot dogs can contain no more than 20% mechanically separated pork, and it must be labeled. The beef in your hot dog today must be actual muscle meat from a cow, which I'm grateful for that. Let's do that.
Yeah. Today you'll see hot dogs labeled as uncured or no nitrates added. These are actually made with forms of nitrate derived from a vegetable source, such as celery. But yeah, so enough of that. Let's talk about ingredients. So the German starting point was horseradish and sauerkraut.
Yeah, we're talking about toppings at this point. I don't like either of those things.
I do. I think I would love to try one right now, actually. That sounds... I love sauerkraut and horseradish with that kick that it will give you. Sign me up. I would try it.
I think the most traditional topping, it can be verified going back to 1895, where a Buffalo newspaper said that they had ordered a long, narrow roll cut through the center and filled with a hot wiener and a dab of mustard. So mustard is what's up, and it remains the most popular hot dog condiment. In a survey conducted, preferred by 32% of Americans, which I would have thought that would have been higher.
Wow. Chili is something that, I'm sorry. Some people like it, some people don't. I love chili on my hot dog, but I'm very particular about it has to be my mama's chili or there's a lady at Tannery Hollow Baptist Church. Her name is Inez, and she is now my step grandmother, and her chili is also perfect.
Tell me about this chili.
So it's just ground beef with a lot of chili powder.
Okay. No, so we're not talking beans and Hormel chili.
No beans at all. It's homemade beef, chili powder, garlic, onions, stuff like that. It's perfect. Now your mother-in-law makes something called hot dog sauce, which I think is like chili's cousin.
Okay. We'll go with that. They don't like it when you call it chili.
Yeah. It's not chili.
But she used to be asked to make it for major events in their area. So it's very popular and it's amazing.
I haven't had any in years, so I need to request some.
Well, let me publicly tell you, I think she's probably sent it to you several times and I eat it.
So. Wow.
You can keep this Reed Shepherd card.
You know, I watched an episode of Seinfeld where this guy was giving out like tickets to baseball games, but Jerry stopped saying thank you, so he stopped getting chili. If she's giving me chili and you keep it and I don't say thank you, she's never going to make me anymore.
That's a good point.
So just tell me, hey, I'm fat and I ate your chili. I'll say thank you, and then I'll go pick it up now.
That's never happened, but it is different. Maybe a little sweeter. I'm not allowed to give any of the ingredients like...
She let me watch her make it.
Oh, man. Okay, so you know what's in it, but she won't tell. She legitimately won't tell people.
And to keep my secret.
Think we can?
I will not talk about it.
Get some ransom for that? Like, we're going to tell people about this ingredient.
I would never do that. Lisa's hot dog sauce and then her Buckeyes at Christmas time. Yeah. I would. I'm picking her.
Okay, I get it. I get it. So yeah, that's I use ketchup. It's a little bit controversial because a lot of people say it's not American, but I put ketchup on just about everything. So forget y'all.
What's funny is America has regional hot dogs. So like if I go to Chicago and order a dog, it's going to be different than what I would get if I were in New York. So what is on a New York hot dog?
I mean, that is your basic. I think if you were to say this is the hot dog, it comes with steamed onions and mustard. Occasionally you'll get it with sauerkraut on it, but it's the simple apologetic. You can get them at carts all over town. And onions and mustard, just the basic, let's wrap it in some aluminum foil and throw it to you. Venmo me $2. We're good.
That sounds really good. So Chicago dog, which I can get down with, it's an all beef Frank from Vienna beef, and it's in a poppy seed bun with yellow mustard, neon green relish, diced onions, tomato slices, and a dill pickle spear. There's peppers on it and celery salt. There's absolutely no ketchup on it at all. If you want the peppers and everything, the tomatoes, you have to say, I want a dog and drag it through the garden.
Which is just, I mean, ordering food in that way is amazing.
I need to go to Chicago.
It makes me love America so much.
Yeah.
I'm going to skip over the next one because this is you. So I'm going to skip over Detroit. I want you to talk about Detroit. We're going to jump over to the Arizona area. And I didn't know that they had their own style hot dog. I will say I ordered gravy and biscuits in Phoenix once and it had hot sauce in it and it was amazing, but I didn't expect it. So out in Arizona and down into Mexico, when they started making hot dogs there, really for baseball games, they started wrapping it in bacon, cooking it on a grill, put it on a bolillo bun. I don't know if I said that right. They put pinto beans, tomatoes, onion, avocado, and cottage cheese on it.
I've never heard of that cheese.
It's not either.
Cottage cheese.
It's not. It's cottage.
Cottage. So let's go to Detroit because as God is my witness, it's the best hot dog I've ever had. So I love this. So it was created 100 years ago by Greek immigrants who ventured first to the Coney Island in New York, but then decided to go a little further west and to settle down in Motor City, Detroit. Now, their secret ingredient is their chili. It has Greek spices in it. It is fantastic. It's an all beef Frank, so you get the snap when you bite into it. But dude, it's on a steamed bun. Steamed buns are nostalgic to me because there's a little restaurant in Jellicoe that you could get a sub and it was steamed. I've never had a steamed bun anywhere other than Jellicoe and this Coney Island.
That's where the comparisons between Detroit and Jellicoe end.
I don't know. A lot of drugs and everything's run down. So Jellicoe, the Detroit of the South. One of the earliest hot dog joints in America was the American Coney Island, which had two brothers named Gus and Bill. They opened their doors in 1917, but those brothers had a falling out. So Bill opened up his own shop called Lafayette Coney Island. He opened it literally right next door. Both restaurants remain open today. The feud continues. So
love that.
What I know about Detroit is you are loyal to one or the other of those. I am loyal to Lafayette Coney Island.
Oh, man. That's
so
controversial.
I went with the brother who left and opened up next door. But I love it. You're walking down downtown, and you come to a hot dog place, and you take two steps, and you're at another hot dog place.
Yeah.
I will tell you that Lafayette Coney Island has a pot of chili that sits in a stove or on top of a stove right in the window. So as you walk by, you see this big vat of chili. It's open 24/7. My theory is they've never one time washed this pot
of
chili. They just add more to it.
Years of flavor, decades of flavor in that guy. Yeah. That's a 100-year feud. I like that a lot.
One time I went and I ordered three dogs because they're amazing. They give you fountain Coke. Well, one time I had, I guess, drank too much Coke and I asked for a refill, and the guy who still sounds Greek to this day, even though it's not this guy that we were just talking about, he's like, nope, no Coke for you.
That's awesome.
So nothing but respect for the guy.
Yeah.
He shut me down.
I get it. I get it. That's awesome.
I was like, I'll buy another one. He's like, no, no more.
I love that. I need him to follow me around and cut me off from Coke all the time. There are a lot more on here. I don't buy all of them. They seem just kind of like Cleveland, the Polish boy. It's a Polish sausage topped with barbecue sauce, sauerkraut, and French fries. I'll eat it, but I don't know that it's its own, like that people go to Cleveland for hot dogs. Kansas City, they're known for barbecue, obviously, and other foods like this that are regional. I mean, pizza, barbecue, chili is regional. So I don't know that Kansas City is known for hot dogs, but theirs are a combination of pork and beef and a sesame seed bun with melted Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, and mustard. I like cheese on my hot dog, too. I'll say that.
I do sometimes, especially I do like grated cheese on it sometimes, but I do like the nacho cheese kind of cheese.
It was yours. Now it's nacho cheese.
Maine has the red snapper. If you've ever seen on TV, like a really red looking hot dog, that's the snapper. It's very unique to that area.
Because it has that lamb casing.
Yep.
Wild.
How many hot dogs do you think Americans consume in
it? I already read it. I don't know if I would have guessed it. So I guess you read it.
Too. I did. Yeah. 20 billion.
B with a billion hot dogs annually. That's just Americans. And yeah. I bet the rest of the world consumes 20 hot dogs annually, collectively. They were called Frankfurters before World War I, but then, I don't know, World War II, we kind of, you know, we beat Germany and took it. More hot dogs are sold at Chicago's O'Hare's International Airport than any other location in the world.
That's interesting.
People wanting those Chicago-style dogs and just passing through. Don't have to go down to the ballpark. I almost said ballpark.
The ballpark, get your little wiener.
That's Boston, so...
Man, well, this has been fun. I love talking about hot dogs, and now I'm craving one.
I send you, every time I see like a custom hot dog from a stadium, I send it to you, and there's some wild things people are coming up with. And I'm all about experimenting, branching out, but we're getting ridiculous with this. I mean, if you can steam the bun, great. Throw the dog in a bun, wrap it in aluminum foil, and toss it to me. Let's do that.
We need to make a pledge to go up to Detroit because the International Auto Show is up there every year anyway. So that's really the reason to go. But really, it's like you go to the car show, but you're really going for the
hot dogs. I think you've told me about like five cars you've seen. I've heard about at least 50 hot dogs.
Yeah.
That's the story. It's not the story. No, this is fun. I love history and I love hot dogs and it's somewhat related to our story about toilets. So
we were, we have a, you and I, and then another friend of ours, Alex, teach Sunday school. And she was teaching the children about the minor prophets today. And this is the setting for which we came up with the idea to talk about hot dogs on our show. Like you guys can talk about Hosea all you want to. Man. Jamie and I are going to be talking about Frankfurt wieners.
You think Jonah had hot dogs in the belly of the whale? Yeah, it was a good
time. That's why I didn't want to go to Nineveh. Those dudes didn't have hot dogs.
They didn't have hot dogs. Just wait till we get to the Apocrypha. We're going to come out with some wild stuff. I can't wait. Man. It's going to be next week.
Guys, we love you. Please consider leaving a rating and review. And while you're doing that, tell us your favorite hot dog. What's your favorite toppings on your dog?
Yes, please comment. Let us know if maybe your family has a special recipe. We will try it.
Yeah, bring it to us.
Or at least I will. John backs out of hot dog eating.
Not this time.
Yep. Nope. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you.
Love you.
You've listened to Bless Their Hearts, distributed by Stoveleg Media. Make sure you subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and go check us out on stoveleg.com where you can learn more about Jamie and John. Stoveleg Media. igniting conversation.